Blog Talk Radio.
The Second Epistle General of Peter. 2 Peter 1.
Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. Brothers, I thank you again. If you received this link on your phone, if you leaked onto the link on the Facebook page or got it on Twitter, thank you for listening, and I pray that something is said tonight that would encourage you. I have a special guest coming on tonight, Pastor Gibbs from, I forgot the name of his church already. Amen. City of Restoration Church. I'm sorry, Pastor. I got it now. Amen. But we're going to be discussing being a servant of Christ, being that servant that God has called us to be, and what it means to be a servant, and how we apply that, and what that looks like. So we're going to talk to the pastor today, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and who we are in Christ. Amen. But we're going to begin with a couple of things. I'm going to open up with prayer. And then we got a couple upcoming announcements and what's going on. And also, as always, we're going to give a word of encouragement. Amen. So let's begin with prayer. Father God, I just first to say thank you, Father. Thank you, oh God, for what you have done. Thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior, as a sacrifice for our sins, for his shed blood on the cross, for the suffering he endured, that your full wrath was unleashed on him for our sake, that we would not have to stand and take the punishment ourselves for our sins and our disobedience, God. But, Father, he took the full wrath on the cross, and his blood was shed for the redemption of our souls. So we thank you right now, God, for doing that. but he showed us what it means to be the perfect, obedient servant, oh God. Father, I can now pray, God, for those in the hospital beds, those in nursing homes, those in jails, those in prisons, God, those that are struggling in their emotions, in their finances, in their spirit, oh God, and all that they're dealing with in this life, oh God. I pray for your church, God, for your body of believers, those men who have confessed you as Lord and Savior, that even in the midst of that, even in the midst of their Christian walk, God, they have doubts and fears, God. So we're praying for them to be encouraged, oh God, that, God, your Holy Spirit would be stirred up in them, oh God, to touch them, to guide them, and direct them, oh God, for the next step, that they would continue to move forward in you. They would continue in obedience, God. They would continue to seek your face in all things. We pray for wisdom and discernment for every husband and father, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God, in that role that you've given them, that you called them into, oh God. Father, we pray for wives today. We pray for the children, God. We pray for the body of Christ today. We're praying, oh God, we lift up before you the deacons, elders, and all those that serve behind the scenes that provide ministry, oh God, to the church and also ministry outreach to the unbeliever, oh God, that they might come to the knowledge of you. So, Father, keep us, oh God. Keep us in your wing. Keep us in your hand, oh God. Strengthen us, oh God. And, God, we pray for encouragement, God, that we continue no matter what happens, no matter what goes on around us and the things that we go through, Lord God, that we were steadfast and persevere, oh God, that we stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is our prayer tonight in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, brothers, again, this is Ish Christian talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. As always, for this episode, for this month of July, we're talking about servanthood and what it means to be a servant, what it looks like, how do we get there, where do we, you know, just how do we apply the word that we learn and the word that we're given to be his servant, to be that Jesus Christ is our Lord and we are his obedient servant. So we're going to talk about that tonight with Pastor Gibbs, again, senior pastor of the City of Restoration Church in Monticello, New York. Amen. But first, let me go. We're going to jump off where our foundation and who we are in Christ, because I always want to encourage. I know a lot of brothers listen to or are giving their life to Christ, but also we have some of those who may be on the border, maybe on the line, maybe haven't come to the decision to surrender themselves to Christ. But to know who you are as a man, as a Christian man, as a man of God, you are one who has responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit by putting your trust and your whole faith in the finished work of Christ for salvation. Christian men are those who have repented from their sins and have made Jesus Christ Lord of their lives. They are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's a simple broad brush of who we are in Christ and who you are in Christ. And you have to know that because you have to know who you are. You have to know what you believe and why you believe it to be able to be and fulfill the full call that God has put on your life and the ministry that God has given each of us for you and I, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter what title you may or may not hold, but as a Christian, as a man of God, there's a ministry, there's a purpose, and there's a plan that God has for your life. Amen? Now, as for sin, something that I always want to reiterate so we know what we're talking about, because, you know, we have a lot of things that we battle with. We have, some churches have lists and traditions and a lot of things that is not necessarily sin. You know, we just want people to modify their behavior, but they may not be sinning outside of God. But where we get the definition of sin is from his word. Amen? So sin, our working definition of sin is any thought, word, or action that is contrary to the character or law of God. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Amen? So that's where we're working from. Now, you can do deep dive into the scripture. You can read the word of God, study sin in the Bible, because Jesus talked about it. Scripture talks about what sin is and the definition of things and the things that God hates and the things that are abomination to him. But, again, we have to all go and search those things out for ourselves. Amen? But, again, sin is any thought, word, or action that is contrary to the character or law of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Also, if you have any events coming up, men's events, we encourage you to go to our Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. Send us the link. Send us the flyer. We'll post it there. We know churches are opening up, gatherings. There's a couple of men's things going on here locally where I'm at in Baltimore, D.C. area. If you have anything in your area, please go to the Facebook page, post it there. You never know. You know, some folks are still doing Zoom Bible studies, Zoom gatherings, you know, any whatever you're doing in ministry to try and reach and encourage men, we encourage you to share it with us that we might also be able to put it out there and share. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, today we're going to be talking again to Pastor Gibbs. Let me see what the technology is here. Praise the Lord, Pastor Gibbs. How are you, sir? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. How are you doing, Deacon Farr?
I'm doing wonderful, brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule and being with us for this time today as we meditate and chop it up or talk about it and chew it up and reason together and all those things.
Well,
and we're talking about
the opportunity.
Amen. Amen. So we're talking about being a servant of Christ. And that's where we're at with it. I mean, that's where we what it means to be a servant and servanthood. You know, it's one thing, I mean, as we start off, you know, if we look at the apostles, because, you know, a lot of people think the apostles were superheroes or whatever, or super saints or whatever, but we have to remember who they were and their backgrounds, especially Paul and Peter and all them guys. They all had issues. If we fully read the Gospels and the Book of Acts, they all had issues, but at some point they considered themselves to be servants. And then there's one thing I know you wanted to throw out there also to our listening audience, that word servant that we see in the King James and the NIV and all the other translations, in the original scripture, it was a word in Greek that meant slave or bond servant.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we have, that means something that's a negative, has negative emotions tied to it here in America, in the Western culture, but I think that's one of the reasons in King James they changed the translation there, because that slave mentality of who we are in Christ, if he is truly our Lord and we are his servants, his slaves, you know, we're slaves, because the scripture speaks of being slaves to righteousness and slaves to sin, so, but...
Mm-hmm.
In some contexts, they change it to servant, but I just wanted to understand that and encourage your brothers. Again, these are the things we talk about when we talk about studying and studying what we and know what we believe and why we believe in and studying the Word. But Pastor, let me start with this. When we talk about being a servant of Christ, what does that mean to you, and how do you understand that, how you explain that to the brothers?
Well, again, thank you so much for this opportunity. And God bless you to all the men who are listening. When I think of servanthood and so on and so forth, I oftentimes think about the fact that it's not a position of I have no choices or there's some level of abuse going on, like how we think in the Western Hemisphere when we hear the word servant or slave. What it's really just saying is that you are a helper, so to speak. It is a dedicated helper. So when we look at how Paul was to Christ, he was dedicated to Christ and helping further the kingdom of God. And I think if we as men can look at those things from that particular perspective, that we are helping one another, helping Christ, as in, as it pertains to spreading the gospel, I think that a lot of times we can overcome not only misconceptions about serving and being a servant of Christ, but also see how our own uniqueness, what makes us who we are, our own gifts and talents, can be applied in the spreading of the gospel, and not as something that has to be guarded, so to speak, because we feel like someone's going to abuse it or mistreat it.
Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, I agree. That's some of it. Yeah, that I think that's where we have to, again, understand that who we are in him. Because if we call him our Lord and our Savior, I know we say that, and we say that without a real meaning of what it means for the Lordship of Christ, but you know, that can be a whole other show itself, because a lot of folk are not really taught what that lordship, mm-hmm. when we say Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, that word Lord means that, you know, we are his servant. He is our master. And it's mm-hmm. and again, it's a voluntary thing. We come to know and believe God, and then we turn our lives over. And I think that's where it's not so much of, because even in this culture, I'll say this, now we're talking about in the church now. I'm not going to talk about our folk, non-believers, folk outside the church. We'll get back to them later, because sometimes mm-hmm. even that is a hindrance for some coming to faith. But in the church, we have to understand that Jesus is Lord, and to serve him it's our responsibility. It's who we have become, because we've given up mm-hmm. our personal rights to be obedient mm-hmm. to Christ. And, mm-hmm. and I think men have to understand that now we've given up our old life. That's the whole part about mm-hmm. repentance, about conversion.
Right.
What do you say, sir?
I think it's, what you just stated is so powerful. And I think a lot of times when we hear messages like this, we try to eat the entire pie without really looking at eating it one slice at a time. And what I mean by that is that when we say he's our Lord, automatically we go, well, what am I gaining? Instead of really just taking the time and going, okay, as I'm coming into Christ, I'm developing to become a new creature in him. And so as I begin to search out the word of God and how it applies to my life, I begin to let down my guard and my barriers. And then then he himself becomes this governor of my life, and he becomes more than just someone that I fear, but someone I respect and then I love. He's someone that I can put my trust in, because it's not up to my own abilities anymore fully. It's now I'm under his rulership, and so he gives me he has given us a gift, which is the Holy Spirit, to help us in times where we're going through troubles and various situations, and those things that I can't handle, the Holy Spirit gives us that grace to be able to handle those things. And so I think as men, as we continue to walk out this Christian walk, and as oftentimes my former pastor used to say this, you know, salvation is continuing. He didn't just save you at the altar, but he saves you each and every day of your life, whether you recognize it in the small things or even the great things, but he's always saving us. And so he's always becoming Lord over our life, and even in the small areas where we don't even think that we even want God to be our Lord, where we don't know where we want him to be sovereign and to be king.
Amen, amen. You know, I agree, and I think that's where we struggle for brothers, it's just men in the faith, especially men. You know, but even in the whole body of Christ, but, you know, tonight here at Issue Christian Men's Talk, we want to focus on the men. We want to focus on the husbands and the fathers, because it's about submission. It really is. It's really about us coming to the understanding of, first of all, who God is. You know, that God is, he's the creator. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. I mean, that's why, you know, it all comes from learning who God is. I do believe that if we really look at Scripture, if we start in Genesis, understand who we are, who we worship, and who God is, and why mm-hmm. we're thankful for his son Jesus coming. Because God, we have to understand what God is, he's bigger. He's bigger than our churches. He's bigger than this universe. He's bigger than his government. He's bigger than all the cultures. Remember, God has existed long before a lot of this cultural stuff from the past, and even the stuff that may, if Christ doesn't come back, whatever culture comes up in the next 25 years, you know, because, you know, there's a lot going on right now, but he's still God, and his word is still, and I think that's what we have to get brothers to understand, for all those that may be listening, well, that are listening and are listening to this link or listening to this conversation. Seek out who God truly is for yourself, because I think that's where we got to start. And if we do that and understand why he sent his son, why his son had died, has become the Lord and Savior, he took that position. Mm-hmm. And then it's for us to come, it's for us to really submit to it. And I think the submission mm-hmm. part, because, you know, we struggle with our independence, especially here in America. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk of independence and rights, and I'm free, and I'm grown, and I'm over 21. You know, that's some of that stuff is in our nature. And I think that's what we really struggle with for some when we come into faith, and even after we come into the faith, because then we think that we don't want to surrender to the will of God. We think God is speaking to us to do what we want because that's what we want to want, and then we just put some Jesus salt on it and go, you know, that's God's will for me. Mm-hmm. What do you say, sir?
Man, one thing I've learned is that I thought I knew my identity, but it wasn't until I started studying the Word of God I found what my identity was. Because Western culture, living here in America, if you're not solid, if you're not in Christ, your identity is going to forever keep changing, because the culture is predicated on what's popular and what's trending. It's nothing concrete and nothing solid. When you come into Christ, he lets you know not only that you are a man, but you're also worthy of so much more than what our culture and society perpetuates day in and day out. Because you can look at TV and then they'll tell you that just being a regular male and not having the same agreement as someone else, then now you're toxic. Or if you don't accept the lifestyle of this person and agree with it and support it full force, then you're hating on them, or you hate them and you despise them. When you are in Christ, you know who you are, and it gives you the ability to love beyond the limitations that our societal minds will allow us to comprehend. And so I believe that those of you who are listening, the more you begin to shut off the things of the world, because they're nothing but distractions, and really just take in the Word of God, take the blinders of what people have said, God's word said, and just really just read it and take it in, and then find someone who can break down some of its language to you, so that you understand it from not only the concept of word understanding, but also the language of the time and how it relates to you now. I believe that you'll find yourself becoming an even stronger and a more solid man. And that to be a servant isn't something to take less, is not less than, but actually giving you power, is giving you clarity and focus, and even allows you to just operate in this world in a level of completeness that many seek and desire but run away from because of its responsibility.
Amen, amen. And that I like that word you use. That's a good segue, because I think it's a responsibility to who Christ is. Again, us being believers, now we're called to have a responsibility to be obedient to him, to surrender to God's will and surrender unto Christ and to the Holy Spirit, and that's where we have that responsibility. Because, again, this is what we believe. If we say we believe God, so we believe all of what God said. And you touched on a couple of things there in a little bit on sublimity, but you're right. If we follow what the culture starts to identify who we are and think the world mm-hmm. is going to keep giving us our identity, we're going to be confused. We're going to be lost. We're going to be disappointed. You know, we can't live up to some of these things they portray, you know. But if we know who we are in Christ, and I think that's the biggest thing, our identity in Christ, it's the same for all of us. He's called us to be transformed into the image of Christ. And we do that through obedience and through the knowing and understanding of his word. So I just want to encourage the brothers out there that, you know, being a servant is not a bad thing. And surrendering, just imagine, in our, even, you know, if we understand that even the things we've done in our life, how much trouble did we get in from our disobedience? Well, if we were obedient, we wouldn't get been, our choices were out of disobedience. All the way back to our childhood to being a full-grown man, our choices were either obedient or disobedient to what we knew was right or wrong, or what we were supposed to do, and we did our opposite, trying to appease our feelings, our pleasures, our lusts, and that's where the disobedience comes in. But when we say being a good servant is to be obedient to our master, and our master should be Christ and his word.
Yes.
And the whole and then that Holy Spirit living within us will guide us and direct us through to help us apply it. Because we can't do it, because I'll say that I know this for a fact. This is not something we can do out of our own desire and behavior and, you know, behavior modification. We can't do it because our flesh will rise up, and we're going to seek what at some point we're going to seek what pleases us. We're going to satisfy that desire, those lustful and sinful desires that we have. But again, if we have the word and the conscience and the Holy Spirit living within us on who we are in Christ and knowing who we are in Christ, that's where we'll be in a better off place. That's I'm just saying, you know, thinking that. And that's what it means to be a servant, is that surrendering and giving in, yes, in into the Lordship of Christ and obedience. Let me ask you this. You talked about before, you talked about continuing in the faith. And I think that's mm-hmm. the thing, you know, getting past, you know, I'll say this, and I'm going to broad brush this because, you know, people come to faith in a lot of different ways, from the sin of prayer to whatever. I mean, there's a lot of ways that we do it. But when I say continuing the faith, Pastor, what does that mean to you, and what does that look like for a brother? For the brothers listening, to continue in the faith, what does that look like to you, sir? How would you describe that?
Oh man, I'm so glad you asked this question, because I've been pondering this on how to answer it, especially, you know, with even members of my church. And I say continuing in the faith in this regard. When you are in corporate America, they have a system and a way of doing things, then no matter if they sent you to a different office, the culture, the movements are still the same. Everything is taken to that place. They're what you would consider foundational. And so they're considered that simply because not only do they want uniformity, but they also want you to understand that if you want more, it's there, but this is the foundation of this company. In Christ, no matter how you come to Christ, whether it's through the sinner's prayer, whether it's being introduced through tracts from a street evangelist, or you go visit from another church, now the task is taking what you have started and then beginning to build on it. And when you begin to build on it, that comes from prayer, that comes from studying the Word of God, but that comes also through connecting with the local ministry. And when you continue the faith, what you're really doing is continuing the work of that ministry that you are attached to. No matter, even if you look at cartoons and they talk about, and they have the Asian dialect and the Asian culture behind it, as it pertains to like samurais. You know, you sit up under a samurai and you become his pupil, and he becomes your sensei. And you may learn as much as you can from him, and then you go out and you begin to take those key ingredients to the next level by way of learning from others, but also from your hunger. And so what I would say to the brethren is that just because this is where you start don't mean that this is where you're going to end. Don't get comfortable where you are, but get that hunger for God, get that hunger for Christ, that you seek the truth, not so much as seeking what the culture says about it or, you know, what this particular church, but what is the work of the apostles? They added disciples to the body, and the disciples were those students who not only studied, but they continued and the tradition of the church, which was baptizing and teachings of Jesus Christ. And so when you are doing these things, we are continuing in the church. You're living the life. You know, it's not just about, hey, I'm a Christian. It's like, let me live it. Let me apply these truths to my life. Let me govern my mouth and how I talk to people. Let me change the way I think about myself and my fellow man, that they're not my enemy. And so the Word of God says, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So then I shouldn't find myself always wanting to fight or argue with or be in disagreement with those that are around me. So then I need to temper myself and allow the Holy Spirit to become more real to me. So that's what I think about when I think about carrying on the faith, is really just living that life, taking where you start and building upon it through the Word of God, through being submitted to a ministry, a church ministry that teaches you the Word of God and positions you to grow and mature as a believer.
Amen, amen. And that's what it is, that servants of Christ. We have to put into practice the things that we learn. You know, you touched on a couple of things. There's a process. You use the example of corporate America, but that's that's correct. But we all have submitted to it. If we look back, I look back to myself when I was a kid, teenager. I worked in Burger King. There's only one way to make a Whopper. There's only one way to process to make that food, to get the food out to the customer. It's a process. Yes. When in your workplace, because we all do it. My thing is that with men, and we have to speak to men's hearts, you already submit to things around you naturally. But when it comes to the things of God, we tend to struggle, or we tend to think that we want to exercise our free will, because we take free will out of context, out of Scripture. But that's another show, another teaching. But, you know, there's a process. But in Scripture, there's a process, because there's a process of sanctification, of discipleship, that where God wants to use us. Because God, you know, as servants of Christ, we have to put into practice what we learn. So there's two parts to that. It's what we learn when we first get saved, come to Christ, and as we continue, we're going to grow and know more. And as we know more, we're able to apply more to our lives. And we're doing it to please Him, you know, because it's like evangelism. I'm not going to what we call bathed in Christ. I'm not going to take babes with me and try and evangelize a whole community. I need some mature people, some mature saints who've been in the faith, who've dealt with some things, who can pray, and then, again, know what they believe and why they believe it. Because when we go out and do evangelism, there's a lot of people who have a lot of misunderstandings, people who don't believe anything we believe. But we also have to be able to go out and evangelize. But I'm not going to take someone who's not prepared. And that's what God does in the sanctification process and in us submitting to be disciples. That's the other thing we have to look at. If we look at Paul and Timothy and John Mark and even the disciples, they submitted to Christ. We submitted to an elder. They submitted to the apostles, those who were teaching them to prepare them for what God was going to use, because we all have gifts and talents and for specific tasks that God has saved us. He's given us gifts, and He's going to give us opportunities. You know, I like to always tell brothers, and, you know, the person that discipled you or even your pastor, there's people you're going to be reached that they will never reach. Because, again, our salvation, we have to understand this when we're talking about being a servant. You know, we didn't get saved. God didn't save. Christ died for you. But Christ also died for a purpose, and it was for His church, and for His church to grow, and for every living creature to hear, every human being to hear the gospel. And that's what we are called to do, and also to serve. There's a lot of things in the body of Christ that we can do. You know, a lot of folk get it, and they think everybody, because I've witnessed this, and I've watched, and I've seen. I'll put this out here for the brothers that are listening, because you know somebody, what I'm getting ready to say, you know somebody just like this. They get saved and think they want to preach, and they want to be a pastor, and they want to, you know, they want the glamorous life, I'll put it like that. They want the glamorous life of Christianity. But, you know, they can't do the work and the behind-the-scenes things and then the things that it takes for them to grow to prepare because, you know, we remember, we bring a sinful, lustful, fleshly character to Christ, and he has to transform that thing, and we have to repent from it and understand that the things that we were doing are not pleasing to him in whatsoever, you know, and understand that we have to be remade and have a new heart and a new mind. And I think that's part of being, again, a slave. We have to allow ourselves to be reconditioned to the things of God. And the only way we can do that, like you say, Pastor, prayer, mm-hmm. Bible study, fellowship. You know, so, brothers, I just wanted to encourage you in that and think about it. Because every man, you know, it's not, again, let me say this, as always, I always have my disclaimer here at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Myself and any brother I bring on for these conversations, we are not on a pedestal looking down like we all got it together. No. We just have it to a point where we know what it takes, and every day is a new challenge. Every day. You know, remember, the scripture teaches, even for the Israel, when God had them in the wilderness, that manna was fresh every day. The word of God needs to be fresh every day in our lives. And that's why we have to stay, when we talk about continuing the faith, it means to continue to be able to, you know, keep moving forward and growing in the things of God. You know, so I just want to, you know, encourage the four brothers out there that it's something we have to press into. We really, really have to press into and continue to grow in it. Amen?
Yes.
I'm getting a little excited. I'm getting off track. But if every man has to, you have to look in the mirror and see who you are in Christ and know who you are and know that God has a plan for you, and he's calling you out for some things. Pastor, I'm going to give you a couple of things here. We're going to do I'm going to do a little bit lightning round here and get your thoughts on some of the things that we're talking about here. We'll be talking about pursuing holiness. How important is that? When we talk about brothers, we tell the brothers, you know, it's time that you have to get to a place where you're pursuing holy living and holiness. What do you say, sir?
Ooh, holiness is not about a dress. You know what it is? It's called whole living.
Wait a minute. First of all, if you're wearing dresses, we have a problem. We're going to pray because it's not – oh, because you said dresses. You said it's not dressing up. Okay, how about that?
Excuse me. I do apologize. I mean, dress
as in clothing. Right there. Oh, my goodness.
Excuse me. No, definitely just about how you dress. It's not about your clothing. You know, having on the three-piece suit or even wearing a robe is really about whole living. Just not considering the flesh, but you now thinking about the spirit and the mind. And so when we are saying to live holy, it's now like, is this what I'm watching? This what I'm reading? Is it producing what I need as far as in my thoughts? How is this affecting my heart? Is this going to open my heart up to loving people more? Is it going to cause me to be angry or be resentful or even bitter or hateful? You know, what it is that I'm taking in, is it going to defile me? Is it going to defile my spirit? So that's what I think of when I think of holiness. So, again, not dress as in dresses, but dressing as in your clothing that you wear, suit, pants.
Amen. That's right. You know, because I don't want to name a certain denomination, but it's a certain denomination still to this day. If you ain't got a suit and tie on, you come to church, you probably not saved. I'm just saying. I'm gonna give you a hint. It's it starts with a C and ends with a C, and you can figure it out from there. But anyway, pursuing holy living. I want to give a scripture reference for the brothers out there because I always like to plant seeds that you can go in later and do a deeper dive. Pursuing holy living or holiness, it's going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 to 16. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, 14 to 16. And you can take that, take some notes, and go back and look that over and meditate on that scripture when we talk about pursuing holiness. All right, Pastor, next one I got for you, a daily crucifying of the lust of the flesh.
You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he tells him, flee from youthful lust. And what he's saying is flee from those things that takes your affection and perverts it, makes it into something that it should not be. You know, you should be able to be around women and not always think of trying to have sex with them. And at some point, you need to mature from that. And you mature from that by changing what you watch, changing what you listen to, changing the things that you read. And sometimes you even have to change the people that you are around. So when it comes to those lustful things, those things that are just twisted, you know, you got to start looking at the root cause of it. What am I ingesting that's causing me to look at things in a different way?
Amen, amen. And that you're right. And that covers a lot of things with who we are, what we take as sin, as entertainment. And again, it's about a renewing of our mind. It's about being obedient to the word. And because, again, scripture gives us direction for all of these things and what we need to do. We need to be turning away from some things. We need to be resisting some things. We need to be pruning and purging some things out of our lives. I mean, I believe it's in James, sin starts very small. It starts as a thought. It starts in our head, and then it grows to the point where now we it can kill us. Amen? It can kill us. It can really, really kill us. Sin can really kill us if we don't get it under control. So for the daily crucifying the lust of the flesh, my scripture is going to be Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. For those brothers out there taking notes, or you can go back and listen to it again and get you a paper and a pen, a piece of paper, and go back and study these scriptures. Again, this is ammunition. These are the weapons. These are the tools, not weapons, but the tools on your tool belt to help you walk out to be the servant of Christ, to be that servant. Because, again, we live in lives here on earth as Christian men, as men of God, as husbands and fathers, and living this thing out. And our ultimate goal that we're looking for is to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's where we have to get to our lives to line up with, to hear, well done, from our Creator and from the man and from Christ Jesus, the man who came to this earth and died for us on the cross and took the punishment in the full wrath of God. Okay? If you want to know what the wrath of God is, remember the flood and then go to Revelations, I think anything after chapter 20. That's going to be the wrath of God. So if you're in Christ, you ain't got to live through that. Just start at Revelation 20 and remember the flood. Because, you know, they got so bad, he flooded them out. I'm just saying. It's in there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be them. You don't want to be that man who is going to endure the wrath of God, because Christ all paid for it. And all we have to do is believe and be obedient and live out the purpose that God created us for and do those things that's pleasing to him. Amen. Next one, brother, we're going to go with loving the brothers and sisters in the faith. Church, the importance of church membership, and there ain't no long range of Christians. Go.
You know, when you love yourself and you begin to love God, you begin to see the image of God in your brothers and sisters. And when you see them, it's such an encouragement to know that they didn't get here, not only in this building, you know, just by happenstance, but they have endured something that they probably don't even want to talk about. And so it gives you that ability to know that if Christ allows them and helped them to make it through, that he's going to do the same for you, but also to go over there and embrace them and let them know that they're not in it by themselves, that if you are right along with them in prayer and in fasting, making sure that they are covered in the spirit realm, just like they have you covered in the spirit realm.
Amen, amen, brother. That's very good. And again, brothers, we have to pray for one another. Who's in your circle? Who are you praying with and for? And who's praying with and for you? You know, there's a book out that was on the Issues Christian Men's Talk reading list this year. It's called The Man Code. Was it 1, 3, and 12? 1 was your relationship with God. 3 men in your circle who you can call and trust, and who you are transparent with, who know you, who know your struggles, who knows your failures, who knows your successes, and they know what you're struggling with. and 12 was the larger outside group, was being part of a church, being having more, you know, a group of people that you were in fellowship mm-hmm. with, you know, because I tell brothers all the time, it's just like, you know, are you a married couple? How many Christian married couples? Wait, let me say it like this. You're a married couple. How many Christian married couples whose relationship is solid are you around, that you fellowship with, that you can get encouragement with? Because everybody's marriage ain't something you want to be around. I mean, I've learned myself this. Okay, let me say it like this. I'm going to say it nice, because we all know this couple. When you're around them, it just don't seem like they're getting along, and then the whole environment changes because of their attitude with each other. Those are not the couples you want to be around. You want to be around couples who are committed to one another, committed to God, and may have been through some stuff, but they treat each other with respect and encourage, and, you know, they're not acting out. I'm just saying. We all know them. I don't want to point no fingers because you might be that couple, but, you know. But anyway. Amen. But I'm
right.
But showing the love and putting people in your circle, again, in our circle. Because even in the world, we had those folk, okay, in the world, when we was clubbing, bar hopping, whatever we were doing, we had mm-hmm. the people we hung with. That was our crew, our posse, our troop, whatever we wanted to call it back in the day. But in the body of Christ, we need the same thing. But we have to be around some solid people who are living out these things of God, who can help us to live out, who, again, has the people that we know. Because you, how you say it, the people in your circle, do you know them? Do they have a prayer life?
Right.
And do you pray with them? Because you can tell praying with somebody if they have a prayer life. I mean, it's not judging, but you want to be around, you know, you want to be around people who encourage you. But there's all, I mean, mm-hmm. there's a give and take and there's a balance. Because let me say this, brothers, because I know there's some old hats out there and some old deacons and pastors. You know, if you're the most mature person in your group, you need to expand your group. Because you have to be in a place where you're giving and receiving. And that's where fellowship
yeah.
is. It's a giving and receiving. It's not always you're always putting out or you are, you know, what we used to call it, bro. Oh, you're the big fish in a small pond. You need to get into
right.
another pond. You know what I mean? Because if real fellowship is about giving and taking one another, showing each other love, giving each other love, who are you going to? Because when you're the big fish in a pond and something goes wrong with you, you have no one to talk to because everybody looks up to you. And then your pride kicks in, and then you're destined to fall. I think there's
yeah.
a scripture talks about that. I'm just saying. But anyway, we're going to talk about loving the brothers and sisters in the faith. And then we're going to go with 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 for your edification and for you to meditate on that. Amen? And the last one, mm-hmm. This is going to be the last one, bro. I know I caught you off guard with that.
Okay.
But you're doing very good.
No,
I just
want to
say,
no.
You know,
it's all right.
you got your chops. You got some pastor chops right there. That's why I like that. Amen, amen. But again, bro, I appreciate you being on and taking your time out to be on the show. And brothers,
all
we're right. going to do a commercial break right here. This is Christian Men's Talk. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this. This will be archived there. Again, you got this link on your phone. I encourage you share the link with your brothers around here, those in your circle of influence. Share it, and maybe it's someone that you're ministering to, that you're reaching out to, you're trying to evangelize, you're trying to disciple, you're trying to mentor, send it to them. This could be an icebreaker, talking points, some of the things we're putting out there. Because, again, we're just planting seeds to encourage the brethren, the men of God, the good men in the church. It's not about deacons and elders. This is about the ranking, what I call the rank-and-file member in the church, that man who has to lead in his home, lead in his community, and also the responsibility to lead in the church and be the man of God. Because with the way the culture is, we have a lot of things going on that we need men, rank and file, laymen, to be able to stand up and be men of God in the body of Christ. You know, because just think of it this way. If you minister to your home and your circle, you'll make your pastor's job that much easier that he can spend more time instead of in counseling but studying. I'll just say that, amen. Oh, you say, Pastor, is that amen?
I say amen.
if I cut down the counseling hours, never mind. I'm sorry. I don't want to get people discouraged, but you know, if everybody manned up, you know, we could you know, pastors could do other things.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, we'll just leave it right there. The ministry can, if the pastor's attention is taken, is released, if he's released from some things, then the ministry can mm-hmm. blossom in some other areas and ease serve God and fulfill the purpose, plan, and vision for that local ministry. I'll say it like that. But, again, we are responsible mm-hmm. for our homes, our families, our wives, and our children. Because, again, when we're talking about, it's funny, we talk about serving and submitting. You know, it's mm-hmm. to be a father and a husband, you're submitting. You're submitting to the responsibility that God has given
yes.
you. It doesn't matter where you was, how you was raised or what your thing is. If you truly want to submit to be, oh, man, I'm going down this road, but we're going to go there for 1 minute. Because
okay.
I think somebody needs to hear. To be a father is for you to come under submission to the responsibilities of fathering a child. And that
mm-hmm.
and that can be, that is so broad, you can't even name it all. But
no,
your circumstance, your relationship, your child is going to dictate what you need to do to father that child, because every child is different. And that's the submission to the responsibility. And the same thing for us as Christian men, to submit to the responsibility to be a man of God, to be a father, to be a husband. Because being a husband,
yes.
you can't do the things you was doing, because then you're not being a husband. You're not submitting, and you're not fulfilling the responsibility. So the responsibility of husband, man of God, husband, father. You're a slave to that thing. The role of a father, you're a slave. That's the lordship. You're submitting to what it means to be a father. The husband,
yes.
you're submitting to it. It's the lordship of your life. That's how you're defined in Christ. What does Christ say a father is to be? What does Christ say a husband is supposed to be? And then you submit none to it, and you're a slave to that thing. And then God is going to, you stand before God, because I used to tell brothers all the time, I don't care what great things you could do, evangelists, whatever, feed the hungry, raise money, do all that. But if God says, as is going to hold you accountable for your wife and your children,
mm-hmm.
will you hear, well done, my good and faithful servant? Because our families here in this culture is in real, real crisis. Because, again, like you said, Pastor, the culture keeps shifting on what it means, and everything's acceptable, and it seems like we're losing a little standard, but I drift off. What do you say, sir? I'm going to let you bring me back. What do you say to that?
I tell you, a little, I think we're losing a lot. And the thing that is so detrimental is there is no end to it. I believe the end goal is, as the scripture says, that right will start being called wrong and wrong will start being called right. We're already seeing it with the definitions of words. Phobia used to be fear of. Now it means to be hateful and you know, despise, and so many other words. So I believe that as we are servants of God, we are going to be the truth tellers, and we are commissioned now to bear the memory of what a standard is. So if you are looking to be a servant of Jesus Christ, you're going to now become that plumb line for your family, the plumb line for the job you work on, or the business that you're in, whatever the case may be, because society is sliding in whatever direction is profitable. But the servant of God cannot be bought. You're not a hireling. You are subject to the kingdom of God and what God has established in the earth realm.
Amen. Amen, brother. That's well said. Amen. Well, again, brothers, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we've been talking about being a servant of Christ. I hope something was said tonight that would encourage you, that would make you think, make you pray about it, seek out the scriptures that we shared, to be able to, just to be a better man, to be that servant, and to be able to start to do and be what God has called us to be on earth while we have this time here. Because remember, our lives on earth is a brief time, and it's all a preparation for eternity. That's what we have to cannot forget that. This time on earth, even if we live to be, I think the oldest person living now is 115, eternity is much more than that. And this is just preparation for us as men of God, people of the faith, of Christ's church. This is just preparation for eternity. So the hardships and struggles that we face here in the flesh will be far outmatched by the glory that we will receive in Christ when it comes our time.
Amen.
To stand before him, if he comes back, or if we leave this earthly plane through death, you know, for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
But as men of the people of God and men of God, we're going to stand before him, and that reward is going to be outweigh all this suffering and the struggles we're going through. And as always, I tell the brothers out there, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, never give up. Pray, seek God, seek his word, seek his kingdom first, and all these things will be added to you. Pastor, I'm going to come back to you real quick, and you're going to close us out in prayer and give us your final thoughts. But tonight, again, I want to thank you, man, for taking time out and sharing these moments with us and sharing the wisdom and just speaking these things. And hopefully we're speaking life into someone and encouraging them. And I'm going to come back to you. I have a couple things I wanted to share and just encourage the brothers and continue to press in. Okay, this is July. Okay. Again, for the month of July, we're talking about servanthood, being that servant. Again, you can reach out to us on Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. It's Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. Follow us there. You also can inbox me, message me on Facebook. Reach out to us. For the brothers who receive this in your phone or your text, text me. Check in. Be part of it. Pastors, elders, deacons, any brother out there you want to be, come on and be a guest of the show, be part of the discussion, I encourage you, reach out to me. You know, I'll let you know when we do the tapings and do the recordings. And also, I'm going to share this with my brother, because this is how me and Pastor Gibbs got together. Trim Ministries, they're Boys to Men, live on Facebook and on Zoom every first
mm-hmm.
Saturday at 7 p.m. If you go to the Facebook page, the link is there, and it's Trim Ministries, and we thank Pastor Jasmine. Oh, my God, what's her last name? Help
Ortiz.
Me, Pastor. Ortiz, yeah, Pastor Jasmine Ortiz. Oh, Lord. Yes, oh, my goodness. But, yes, that's Jasmine Ortiz, and we're doing a discussion panel there on Zoom, and it's also on Facebook Live every first Tuesday. You can go to Issues Christian Men Talk and see the link there and find it on Facebook. We encourage you to watch it also. And brothers, be encouraged. Be encouraged in the things of God. And remember, no matter what's going on in this culture, the word of God is our foundation. It's our rock. Stand on his word, and all will be well. Amen. Pastor, you can give us your closing thoughts and then close out in prayer. And again, I appreciate you, brother, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Again, thank you, Deacon Paul, for this opportunity. To you men who have gathered on here, thank you for just tuning in. Servanthood as a man is so important, because when we begin to look at the world, you're going to be serving someone at some point in time in your life, whether you want to or you don't want to, whether you know it or whether you don't know it. To be a servant of God, to be a servant of Christ, is simply just saying, God, I want you to be everything to me. You be my provider. You tell me where to go and what to do. Because when he tells you what to do and where to go and how to handle things, you're going to be able to do things that you never thought you would be able to do, but also that you have his approval in what you're doing. And when, as men, we thrive better when we are around stronger men and we're able to work toward a goal. And so I want to encourage each man. Things are not going to always come easy, and it's going to take time to develop in the things of God. But don't give up. Don't allow this world to discourage you from being who God has called you to be. Remember that God loves you, I love you, and more importantly, you are needed in this time that we're in. So with that being said, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for each and every man that is listening and will listen to this podcast. Father, I thank you that it reaches around the globe and grab the ears of every person that listens to it. I pray that something is said that transforms the mind and the heart of those that listen. I pray, God, that you will strengthen the men as they are under attack by the enemy to be less than, to be subpar, to be okay with being everything but what Christ has called them to be. Father, I pray that you strengthen them as being husbands, as being fathers, as being sons, as being cousins, as being friends, as being businessmen. Father, I pray that you just strengthen them on every side. Encourage them in their time of sadness and grief, in their times, oh God, when they feel like they all hope is lost. But we are encouraged through your word that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So even though we have gathered on this phone call, on this podcast, Father, I pray that we even begin to link up with those that are like-minded and those that are achieving higher in you, oh God, in the streets and in our bedrooms and courtrooms, excuse me, in other areas, Father. I pray, God, that your people would come together and be what you have called them to be. This is your servant's prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Upon him, shall I renew strength? Yeah. Shall mount upon.